Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. So let me ask you this. So as you know, we're kind of approaching a new year, and I don't know about you, but I'm always like, okay, what can I do? What can I add to my life or subtract from my life to kind of be better in 2019? I'm just kind of wired that way. And have you ever seen people that are winning at something or a success, and you're like, I got to figure out what they're doing? Anybody? Come on. I mean, the moment you see somebody win, you're like, I got to figure out what's their secret to success. And so it's funny. I can remember a number of years back when I was still playing in the NHL. I was playing in Carolina, and a teammate of mine who was just kind of like not really in great shape and all that, he came back after one off season, and the brother was ripped. I mean, this dude was abs popping and doing all this stuff, and he was just strong on the ice. And I pulled him aside. I'm like, Hilly, bro, what are you doing? And he kind of really, like, in a real whispered hush, he goes, you know what the secret is, bro? I stopped eating bread. I'm like, oh, bread. No carbs. Okay, the evil carbs. So I cut out the carbs, no bread, and all that kind of stuff. Well, come to find out, a number of years later, it was actually no bread and anabolic steroids. That's neither here nor there. All right, there's another guy. I remember Paul Coffey. This guy is a Hall of Fame defenseman, holds several NHL records, and he got traded to our team. And I'm trying, like, he's sitting next to me, and I'm trying not to geek it up, like, oh man, we signed this, you know, that type of thing. And he's with me, and he was renowned for how fast he could skate. And he used his skates were laced with different laces. They were yellow for whatever reason. And so as soon as he got on the ice, I get my trainer, the athletic trainer, I'm like, Skipper, give me some of those yellow laces, right? Because I just wanted to see if it would work. And so he was a Hall of Fame skater. I put the yellow laces in, and I'm still a Hall of Average skater, all right? Another guy we had, Jerry Palmieri. He's a great friend of mine. He was the athletic trainer for the New York Giants for a number of years. And he was also a two-time New Jersey Golden Glove winner. And so Jerry, good buddy, and he raised his daughter, godly woman, kept herself till she was married. And I'm a daddy of daughters, so I'm like, bro, you got to tell me how you won and did that. And so I'm waiting for this deep, profound kind of spiritual thing. And he's like, oh, dude, it's easy. When some kid comes to date your daughter, you just sit him down and say, hey, if anything goes bad with her, I'm going to beat your dad up. You understand me? And so that's kind of always been kind of my line. And I always joke, that's probably why girls are still single, right? But see, so the Luke, we're in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke is going to unpack for us the secret to Jesus' success. The one who walked perfectly and powerfully upon the earth, and here's what it is. It's his prayer life. Luke, more than any other gospel, you take all the other three gospels combined, and they don't even come close to Luke unpacking the prayer life of Jesus. Because Luke records that Jesus, he's praying at his baptism. Prayer was his daily custom. He prays in his healings. He prays all night before naming the 12. He prays with the 12. He prays for the 12. He prays before the cross in the garden. He prays on the cross for you and for me. And so we see that Jesus, his prayer life was the secret to the powerful life he walked in. There's another guy in the scriptures you may have heard of. His name is the Apostle Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul, okay? And Paul, we can agree that when you're raising people from the dead, you're probably pretty powerful. And so this guy, Paul's going to say in Thessalonians, he says this, you should pray without ceasing. And I don't know about you, I hear that and it sounds very overwhelming to me. Because sometimes, like, I can pray for 5 minutes and I'm done, you know? And yet he says to pray without ceasing. It's the secret to walking in the life of power and success that we all desire. Show of hands here. This is an okay place to not be okay, safe place. How many would just testify that you know you don't pray as much as you should? Show of hands, please. Keep them raised. And just look, those people that don't have their hand raised are liars, okay? But look around, though. Please keep them up. Now look around. That's almost everybody, okay? If not everybody. And so does that not let you off like to something that there's an unbelievable power available to you and I, and yet there's this unbelievable obstacle preventing that place of power? It's a spiritual battle. There's an obstacle because the scripture says that you and I, we have an adversary. It's the devil. And so our adversary does not want us to plug into the power of God for our life. It's funny, I already warned guys in my Connect group I was going to out them a little bit, and so I already got permission. So it's funny, so I get like, I got Parksy and Ernie. I was going to pick on them because they've been in my Connect group for years, and I can remember we'll be there. And now sometimes both Ernie and Parksy can be a level 5 runaway talker. Anybody have them in your Connect group? Like, they just start going and going, and I'm like looking for when I can jump in there, and they can go. But when it comes time to pray, crickets, you know? It's like, ah. And that just shows you, you know, I love you. That's how we show affection to each other, Parksy. Is and by the way, through making them pray in the group, suddenly they become prayers, okay? But it lets us know. I remember my first time in youth group, and I'm going in. I just thought, okay, this is cool. We can hang out with people. And then they had us grab hands at the end of youth thing. And then the guy, he says, hey, and you're going to pray and then squeeze the person's hand next to you then so they'll know it's their turn. I'm like, this is not happening to me. Like, just terror struck me. And so I did what all of you do as it's going around. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. I don't care. I don't hear what they're saying until I recognize the girl who went right before me. She stole my prayer. Has anything that ever happened? I'm like, no, she stole it. And I was just like, remember that she squeezed my hand. I'm like, she took mine and squeezed the next one. And around we went. And so it's just like prayer is this kind of can be this daunting, intimidating thing. Why? Because it's unbelievably powerful. And if I could just be transparent with you, is for me in 2018, I've always been a word guy. Man, I just love the Bible. I can't never get enough of it. Prayer has always been a discipline for me. I got to make myself get in and pray. And so I decided, I was like, man, for the church to go to the next level, I have to go to my next level. And so I just decided, Lord, I'm going to up my prayer time. I'm going to discipline myself to pray. And I remember I put a time on it. I said, I'm going to pray 20 minutes every day. I can pray more, but I'm not going to pray any less than that, right? And so I just literally time it and go. And can I tell you this? Now, I'm a doer. I'm an achiever. Like, I need to achieve stuff in my life to feel, for whatever reason, that's the way God wired me. And so at times it could feel like, oh, Lord, I could be achieving in these 20 to 50 minutes of prayer. And yet what God had to show me was that when I work, I work. But when I pray, God works. And I can't even begin to tell you, as I've upped my prayer time, things that have been difficult in the past have been coming now with ease, and there's anointing and there's power behind it. And so I want to encourage you. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, he says this. He says, my day is overwhelming today. I must pray for 3 hours. And so that's it. Listen, I'm not saying you got to pray for 3 hours, but I'm saying, man, if you pray, I promise you, God will give you grace and power to do and to be all he's called you to do and to be. And so prayer is a discipline, but can I just tell you this too? Prayer also, like, discipline is essential for relationship, because when you create space and time, let me say this. So discipline, I don't know how many would agree with me, especially how many have broken your New Year's resolution already, right? So we can agree that discipline is very fragile. It's vulnerable. And some of us, you might be a type A and you're unbelievably driven and disciplined, but I promise you, it only takes the right set of circumstances for their discipline to be shattered and to be broken. But you know what the scripture says? That love lasts forever. That it says this, that love, it suffers long. And it endures all things. And so the goal of my discipline in prayer was to cultivate relationship and love with God. And now I'm just happy to say that, man, I feel if I don't have that deep time of prayer, I feel lacking and empty. I feel lonely. I miss him. okay? And so kind of that's the idea in prayer, is that discipline would lead us into relationship with God. And so, but prayer, how many have ever thought this too? And I know Parksy, we talked about this a little bit. It was like, hey, you know, what's the mechanics of it? I don't know if I'm doing it right, you know, that type of thing. And I remember early in my Christian life, I just get around people that were praying and just kind of see if I could figure it out. And and so I was introduced to the Father God prayers. Has anyone been to that one? So Father God, we pray just Father God, and Father God, I pray this, and Father God, and Father God, to me it sounded like a stick shift, right? And so I thought, maybe that's how you do it. Father God, I want this, and Father God, and right? And then sometimes the length of prayer can kind of be like, how long do you pray? Susan will amen me on this one. We had a women's prayer meeting at our apartment when we lived in Manhattan. Place was packed with women. I was hiding in our bedroom. And so that was going on. And so all the women grasped hands. And one woman began to pray. And you'll know who she is, bro. So she began to pray and pray and pray and pray until finally, God's honest truth, one of the women collapsed and fell down. And you know what my response was? Praise God, now I can go to the kitchen while there's distraction, right? But it was that long. So anyways, and if that's you in the prayer meeting, quit it, okay? But there are these mechanics, and so here's the great news, is today Jesus is going to help us, because the disciples are like, Lord, would you help us? Will you teach us how to pray? And so he introduced us what we know as the Lord's Prayer. I think Izzy has an example of the Lord's Prayer, if we have that, Sherry.
Our Father, art who is up in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, the magic kingdom, as it is on earth in the helicopter. Give us this day our daily pizza, and let us digest it. Forgive us. Forgive us for trespassing, and not lead us to the temptations, for we are tired of them and your dancing. Deliver us from evil with your mighty sword and falcon, forever and ever and ever. Amen.
If you're new to church, that's not how it goes. I'm going to read for you Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Says this, it says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And so how many have ever recited the Lord's Prayer before? A few of us, like a lot of us. I can remember with the New York Jets, I remember Coach Rex Ryan called me into the locker room before we were to play the evil New York Giants. And so we all took a knee, and Rex looks at me and he says, Pastor Adam, lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And I remember terror struck my heart, because I was like, I hope I remember how the Lord's Prayer goes. Right? And we began to go, and guys who had never been to chapel all year, they knew that prayer right away. And I say that to say, I don't believe it's wrong at all to recite the Lord's Prayer, but I do believe it's not what the Lord intended in this example. How many have received Christmas cards, birthday cards? And I don't know if you're like me, but when I get the card, I think it's great, but I really don't read the Hallmark part of it. The words that are important and valuable to me are the ones that have been written in pen by somebody. And to be honest with you, and if you send me a card, God bless you, thanks for the thought, but I'm just going to read the part that you write to me. So I could save you the $5 or whatever next time you do it. Why? Because those were someone else's words. And listen, if that's all you got and you need to borrow someone's word, pray the Lord's Prayer. And pray that, thank you for that. God hears that and God honors that. Here's the big takeaway today, if you don't hear anything else I'll say. When you come to God in prayer, you need to think relational, not technical, okay? That God, and we're going to see that he reveals himself to us as Father. And so I believe that Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer as a prototype of prayer, as a blueprint as how to pray. And so my encouragement would be to you, hey, prayer, just go talk to God. But sometimes I know when I come before the Lord, can I just shoot you straight? Sometimes I just don't have a lot of words. Sometimes I get stuck in my prayer with God, and that's when I go to the blueprint. I go to the prototype, and I grab a hold of that prayer and begin to build my prayer off of the prototype. So C.S. Lewis, he called it this. He called it festooning. And that doesn't mean much to you and I, but festooning, it's an old English word. It means to decorate or to adorn. And so we just took last Sunday a number of hours to de-festoon our house from all the Christmas decorations that we had. And so the big idea is this, when we pray the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, you begin to take the bullet points that God gives to us and we begin to festoon them, we adorn them. And so we start by praying Our Father. Oh God, thank you that you're a father. Oh God, thank you that you call me your son. What an honor and a privilege it is that you would call me a son of God. What is man that you're mindful of him, oh Lord, right? And so we start to festoon. Hallowed be your name. God, thank you that your name is above every name. God, that at your name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. God, thank you that you give me your name and then I can use it in the earth. And so all these different, this is how we festoon and adorn. And so if you'd give me the privilege to do this, I would love to kind of break it down for us for the next maybe 2 hours or so. Is that all right? I'll go fast. All right, so here we go. Let's start. So Father, or some of you would know it as this, Our Father. My daughters are 27 and 25. My daughter Lizzie was here with her 5 dogs to go with our 3 dogs. I don't know if you do the math, but 5 plus 3 is madness, okay, all in our house. But by the end of the week, it was like, oh, it's time to go. So that was good. But I remember my firstborn, Cassie, when Susan was pregnant, I just remember it was just such an eye-opener to me, because as a dude, I just kind of never thought about having babies and that kind of thing. And just seeing my wife morning sickness, and I was like, oh my gosh, it looks so tough, baby. I'm so sorry, you know. And then I remember one time we went out to, we discovered early on in the pregnancy that shellfish, you are not having any of that, because we had to pull over the side of the road after we had a beautiful meal and all that. By the way, enjoy hospitality afterwards, okay? So then I just see, oh, kind of the swelling and the water retention and the back pain. And you ladies can shout me out and say amen at any moment, right? And I remember at one point, I got a picture of Susan when she was pregnant with Cassie. And I remember looking at it, I was like, man, baby, it looked like you carried her in your face. And can I just say I was a rookie husband, fellas? Don't do that, okay? And so we get all this stuff. And so my point is that, man, you ladies, just give your life over for this child and then all the night feedings and whatnot. And then I just love it that the first words out of your child's mouth are, da-da. Right? And I love it because the book of Romans, Paul identifies with that, because he says that when the Spirit of God comes to our heart, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are sons and daughters of God and that we cry out, Abba, Father. Theologians kind of wrestle with it, but they believe that Abba, it's the closest word to daddy, dada. Kenneth Bailey says this, you know, in the Middle East, even some Middle Eastern places today, that still is the first words they teach their children is Abba, 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 okay? And so that's the intimate word that God, Jesus says, I want you to start your prayer by crying out to Abba, to Father. It's this idea of relationship with God. And notice the metaphor that God uses. Like, he could have done anything because he's God, but he chose to use Father as the metaphor, the way he reveals himself to us. And here's the reason why I think that is. is because he wants to reveal to you and to me that he's loving and he's strong. Because a father is supposed to be loving and yet strong. And so if you're a father in here today and you're the dad, you're the man of the house, that it's your job. If you hear something go bump in the night, how many know you don't go, hey, baby, go check that out. Go see what that is. No, you're the man because you're supposed to go tango. You go die because you're supposed to bring security and safety to the home. And you're supposed to be loving. Loving. And so I heard Pastor Tim Keller in Manhattan, a great Presbyterian church in Manhattan, great author. He wrote this book, The King's Cross. And in it, he tells the story of they had a massive wildfire at Yellowstone National Park. And as the rangers were going through, looking at the burnt rubble and everything that was kind of the carnage left behind the fire, the ranger approached a tree. And at the base of a tree was a bird that had been carbonized. It had been incinerated so quickly that it was still in like a statue form. And it was so eerie to the ranger that he just went over and he touched it with a stick and it crumbled. And out of the ashes came three baby chicks that the bird, the father had covered over these birds. And in the same way, do you know that it says that God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to cover us over from our sin. And so God, he reveals himself as a loving and yet a strong father. And but listen, and I could even see it on some of our faces. Like, that's a cute analogy, Pastor, but you don't know about my old man. Like, when I say the word father, you get some different pictures. I always like to reference this because it's such a staggering reality to me. And if you're a dad in here, I hope you feel the weight of this. The Johns Hopkins University did a 30-year study, and they wanted to get to the bottom of what was the major theme of why there's so much brokenness in the world, why there's illiteracy, why there's poverty, why there's abuse, suicide, all these different things. And after 30 years, they brought it down to one thing: fatherlessness. All right. And so we need to feel the weight of that stuff. And so I get it. You're like, Pastor, when I hear father, I don't feel loving and I definitely don't feel safe. And here's what I would say to you. But isn't it ironic that even if all you've known was abuse from your dad, that in your heart of hearts, you know that's not right, that you know it's not supposed to be that way? Why? Because we've been designed for a heavenly father, a perfect father. Louis Giglio would say it this way: God is not the reflection of your earthly father. He's the perfection of your earthly father. And so I would submit that to you. In fact, Jesus, he tells a parable in Luke chapter 15. We'll get it later on in the year. And he tells the story of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And it's kind of interesting. The lost sheep, the shepherd leaves the 99 for the one, and that wouldn't have been a staggering. The shepherds would be like, of course he did. Of course he left for the one. A woman loses a coin or rips her house apart to find it and celebrates. And people reading that would get, well, of course she does. She lost the coin. She needs to find it. But the lost son is different. That this son said, God, Father, give me your inheritance. He says, I wish you were dead. And he goes off and he squanders everything. And then after squandering in his sin and sorrow, he comes back to the father. And then what does the father do? It says, while the son was on the way, the father ran to him and embraced him. He put a robe on him, sandals, and a ring on his finger and celebrated his son that was lost. And that description would have been scandalous in the first century when Jesus said that. Why? See, God is trying to communicate to you and to me that he's not like your earthly father, that he is the perfect father that receives us. We go on and we say, hallowed be your name. So how many have used the word hallowed this week? Anybody? If you do, you're weird. Sorry. but hallowed, it's the word hagiazo in the Greek, hagiazo. And in it means to be set apart, to be special, to be holy, to be different. Hagiazo, hallowed be your name. So I'll just illustrate it this way. If I'm in a room with 100, 200, 1,000 women, that there's one woman that's hallowed in that group. And if you're new here, that's my wife, okay? that she's set apart. She's different than all the other women combined. She's hagiazo. And if anybody tries to put the moves on that one, I'm going to hagiazo their face, okay, in Jesus' name. Why would God say, hey, I want you to pray, hallowed be my name? I love C.S. Lewis. He was an atheist, and he says, God sounds like an old woman looking for compliments, right? Like, make much of me, praise me, you know, all that, like time and time again. And he says it just sounded insecure until he became a Christian and he realized, oh my goodness, it's because he is the most important, he is the best thing that could ever happen to you and to me. In fact, the scriptures say this, that you were created by God and for God. And so for us to have our life orbit the name of God is the best place that you and I could be. We've been designed for that. So I heard another story this week about missionaries that were in Madagascar. And so they were in and they were ministering to this impoverished tribe. They were poor. They were malnourished. And so they came in and they brought the merengue tree with them. And so I'm not sure if you've ever heard. I had not heard of the merengue tree before. But here's what I want you to hear what it does. This is an unbelievable tree. All right. So it has the leaves are edible. It'll grow 10 feet in 1 year in horribly difficult climates. It has more protein than an egg, each leaf. More protein than an egg, 3 times more iron than spinach, 7 times more vitamin C than oranges, 4 times more vitamin A than carrots, 4 times more calcium than milk, 3 times more potassium than bananas. You can extract the oil from the leaves for fuel, and if you crush the seeds from the tree, it purifies drinking water. Can we agree the merengue tree, like where can I get those? Do they sell them at Whole Foods, right? In fact, the merengue tree has another name for it, the tree of life. And you know that Jesus, he calls himself, he is the one who's come to give life and life more abundantly. But do you know that in this tribe, in the Madagascar, that there's witch doctor there that says that tree is taboo and you stay away from that tree. And so here's why we need to hallow the name of God, because we need to tell everyone that will listen and ourselves that God is objectively better. He is the tree of life. Don't run from him. Don't be afraid of him. Run to him, because he's the one who will bring us life. And then it goes on in our prayer, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. And now here's what I want you to see this morning is, you and I, and whether you're a believer in Christ or not, it doesn't matter. You have been designed by God to be a glory agent in the earth. That humanity has been designed in the image of God. We were to reflect his glory in the earth. Habakkuk will say it this way, that God says, my glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And so we were designed to cover the earth with the glory of God, and yet a little thing called Genesis chapter 3 and the fall of man happens, and we're separated from the glory of God. And now our ability to reflect his image is hindered until we see that God, he comes to a chosen people, and God allows his glory to dwell in a box. It's called the tabernacle, and the glory of God would dwell in a box and travel with his people. At one point, that box was stolen by the Philistines, the enemies of God. And do you know what they said? Israel said, it's Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory has departed. And so they would get the glory of God back in the box until Solomon built a temple. And now the glory of God would reside in a 20 by 20 cubit foot room, a perfectly square room. And I can imagine the glory of God meant to cover the earth is contained in a box, in a room. And if you can feel this rumbling, the throbbing power of God wanting to escape until Jesus Christ goes to the cross. And as he hangs on the cross, he says, it is finished. And the veil of that room is ripped open. And now the glory of God spills out onto earth into the hearts of humanity. those that are followers of Christ, Jesus says, I don't dwell in temples made with human hands. I dwell in the hearts of men. And so now you and I have been empowered to carry the kingdom of God, the glory of God, where we go. Anyone ever been to Aruba? No, a few. Listen, Hack and I are starting a church there in Aruba. So that's our next church plant. And I remember my family and I, we were vacationing there. And I may or may not have been playing Texas Hold'em, depending on where you stand on that. All right, it was a $10 game or whatever. So I'm playing Texas Hold'em, and this dude's sitting next to me, and they give they're given snacks, and so they bring over pizza, and the dude next to me takes the pizza, folds the pizza, and starts eating it. And I'm like, so whereabouts in New York are you from? Right? He's like, Queens. How did you know? Right? We had dead giveaway. Fold the pizza. You're from New York. And so, you know, there's things that mark us as glory agents, as kingdom people, that as kingdom people, we do marriage different. As kingdom people, we do singleness different. As kingdom people, we do money different. As kingdom people, we do fill in the blank, okay? And so where you go, you bring the kingdom of God and the glory of God with you. And so you begin your prayer by saying, God, may your kingdom come to me, that it might spill out to the world. And then he says this, give us daily bread, daily bread. And so finally, the prayer that Jesus gives us, it pivots, because everything's been about God, it's been about his kingdom, and finally we get to us. Now, how many are good at praying that prayer? Like, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me, God, right? And there's space for that. But we begin by seeing God, his kingdom, and now we can pray for our daily needs. And so I want you to note something. It doesn't say, Father, please make me stupid rich, all right? It doesn't say that. It says, Father, give me what I need today. Now listen, if you're stupid rich in here, God bless you and welcome to Every Nation New Jersey. Don't forget to tithe. But the prayer should be this, Father, give me what I need today. And here's the reason for that. Do you know, how many would just agree if you examine your life that when you're dependent on God, you're most near to him? Isn't that true? Like, I'm ashamed to say that, but I know when I know I'm fragile, I need to be near and plugged into him. But sometimes, man, when my bank account's full and other things are full, I'm kind of like, yeah, God, I love you, but I'm not as close to him and not as near to him. And that's on me. That's not on him. And so sometimes it can be a very safe prayer. God, give me what I need today. And for some of us, that can seem like an impossible task, can it not? I'd like to submit to you. See, Jesus is actually referencing the Exodus. Do you remember the children of God in the wilderness? And God would rain daily bread down from heaven, manna. Manna means what is it? And it was this man, bread would fall from heaven, and they would get just what they needed for the day, and that's all that would last them. So did you know for the Israel, they figure there are 2 to 3 million Israelites in the wilderness. So Moses is responsible for them, okay? 2 to 3 million people. So in order to feed 2 to 3 million people, you need 4 million pounds of food per day. Did I mention they're in the desert? You need 4,000 pounds of firewood, 11 million gallons of water per day. And so I feel like that, like I get overwhelmed with just my crew trying to provide for them. And yet, what did Moses learn in all that? Man, God's faithful for the day. And I don't have to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow's God's business. But I'm going to trust you today. Every need is going to be met. Everything I need for life and vitality, I have today in the name of Jesus. All right? And so I would just say this, though, but remember, God's a father. And can I just tell you, my kids ask me for outlandish things. And you know what? It's okay. And so, but listen, but just prepare for this. God, do you guys, we didn't read it, but in that it says, God's a good God, good father. And if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kid, how much more your heavenly father will give good things to those his children who ask. But I would just say this. So God, ask him, seek, knock, keep doing that. Ask him for stuff, but just be prepared. Sometimes it'll be yes, but guess what? Sometimes it's going to be no. You know why? Because sometimes we ask for dumb stuff. I can't believe, how many times I'm just so grateful that God didn't answer the prayers that I prayed in the past. He protected me from me. And then here's number five is this. Forgive us our sins, or some of us memorized, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors or others. And so this is the time now. So we got our eyes on God, on his kingdom, on our needs, and now we want to examine our heart. And so there's a book, What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey. I would highly recommend it. Great book. But he tells the story that after war-torn Europe, World War II, that there was a Christian group of Polish people. And so they were in, and they would have these meetings. Well, a Christian group in West Germany, these Germans asked, would you come to West Germany that we might ask you for forgiveness for the atrocities of World War II? And it was interesting, despite the fact it was a Christian meeting, the heads of this group, they said, absolutely not. We will not go to Germany, and we cannot forgive you that the streets of Warsaw are soaked in the blood of the Poles. And he says, so we cannot go. And then they begin to do as they always did. They closed out the meeting with the Lord's Prayer until they got to the portion when it says, forgive us our debts as we have to forgive. And so they wound up making the trip and then receiving the forgiveness from the German people. And so they have to forgive. And that's kind of the big idea when we ask, Lord, forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So here's the big idea. Jesus will say this over and over, do unto others the way that God has done unto you. And so if you've been a recipient of grace, it should be much easier to give grace and forgiveness. So this is why confessing sin is so unbelievably important. Because as you become aware of your sinfulness and your brokenness, it stirs a humility and empathy. And when you realize how great the sins that God has forgiven us, how could I not forgive my brother? And so here's a sin I believe a lot of us are guilty of. Is we take grace before we taste grace. Do you understand the difference? Where we just take it, what you need to do as you confess your sin, you're actually chewing on and tasting the forgiveness and the grace of God, that you feel it and experience it, and now you have the nutrients to be able to give it all away. And notice this too, in that place of grace, we know this, that he that's been forgiven much, what do? You love much, all right? And so confession of sin. And then here's number six, lead us not into temptation. Some of us have read too, but deliver us from the evil one. And this is kind of the section here where personally I start praying, oh Lord, God, protect me from me. God, don't lead me into temptation. Father, I'm prone to wander. Anyone else? Man, I can be prone to say amen in my prayer and then wander away from God the rest of my day. And so I pray, God, keep me near to you. Don't let me fall into or lead me into temptation. And then we can pray this, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. And that's where I begin to just go over and pray over my family, my home, my household, my church. I pray, God, Lord, thank you for a hedge of protection that encamps around my home and my household, my girls. Lord, our animals, our vehicles, our storehouses. God, watch over our church. Protect them and deliver them. And then here's something else. Men, I'm going to look at you in the face right now. You need to pray over your family. God's made you the spiritual head over your home. And so if you're not on a daily basis praying and intercede for them, you're advocating your position from the Almighty. And so you need to pray and cover your home and your household. And then lastly, and I'm going to ask Kim to come as we close, we're entering into the season of prayer right now. And can I just ask you, everyone needs to join in during this time. Our team recalls last year, 2018, we were just blasted out into a new year. Because why? Because the people gathered together and we began to cry out to God. I love Kim referenced this. Matthew 6:33, it talks about, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so you need to feel the physics, the math in that. There's a firstness to God. And so here's my appeal to you in 2019. How many you have things you're believing God for? Oh God, you want him to meet you at your place of need. Some of you have desires and they're good and godly desires and you're believing God for them. But God says this, you're to seek first the King and the kingdom. And so here's what we do. We seek him with the first of our day. So I don't know how you do it, but you need to give him the first. It may be you just recite the Lord's Prayer, or on your commute into work, you just have a moment where you pray to God. But if you offer the first of your day, God's going to bless that day. We give the first of our week by coming to church. By you coming here, you are seeking first the kingdom and the kingdom, and you're declaring before Almighty God, I'm seeking you first, God. And as we do that, God will be involved and bless our week. And now, here, church, we're entering into a new year. And we're going to take the first of this year, we're going to take the next week, and we're going to pray and we're going to fast. We're going to seek first the King and the kingdom, and he's going to add to us.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.